Our scripture reading this morning is Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. The message is entitled The Presence of God, taken directly from the scripture. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way." Let me pause here to remind you that this is very soon after the golden calf worship, right? And where God struck down thousands to show his wrath and displeasure at them worshiping an idol. And it also records Moses' intercession on behalf of the people, which he continues to do in this scripture. Verse 4. When the people heard those distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments, for the Lord had said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you." So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. Now, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the Tent of Meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the Tent of Meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped each at the entrance of his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me in your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Now remember, in the beginning, God said to Moses there that these people that you brought up, but here Moses is interceding. He's like, "Remember, Lord, these are your people. This nation is your people." The Lord replied, verse 14, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth but the presence of God?" Verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. And this is a scriptural prayer for revival from the book Praying with Fire. Let's pray. Loving Father, revival is about your presence being real in my life and in the church. Oh Lord, let me know your presence. Manifest your presence in my life and in my church. Lord, send revival. Teach me to be sensitive to your voice when you tell me to depart, to get away from the ungodly influences of my world. Enable me to obey quickly as Moses did. Father, drive out the enemies of your people. Expose them for what and who they are. In my community, expose those who oppose and resist you. In the political arena, local governments, schools, and churches, expose those who oppose you and drive them out. Show me how I am stiff-necked and stubborn. Enable me to yield those areas to you. Show me that special place of meeting with you where I can run, the place where I can get away from the distractions of life and be alone to meet you. Oh Lord, let others see my devotion to you, not to brag or puff myself up, but for your glory. Father, put a separation between me and the outside world as you did with Moses. Put your pillar between me and the distractions of life so I can commune uninterrupted with you. Speak to me as you did to Moses. Let your word, your truth, be ever consuming my mind, Father. I long to be your friend. I long to know you. Let me find grace in your sight. I long for your presence. Teach me to seek your presence and show me any substitutes I have made for you. Father, just as you knew Moses' name, thank you for knowing my name. Thank you for hearing and answering my prayers. Give me spiritual eyes, Father, to behold your glory, just as you did Moses. Show me anything that hinders my walk with you and separate me unto you. Teach me separation. Show me my place by you. Enable me to be still and wait on you. Let me know your presence. Cover me with your hand. Place me on the rock that does not move. You are my rock. In life, I may shake and quiver, but my rock never does. Father, you are honey in the rock. Thank you. Father, forgive me of my sin. Burden me to intercede for the church and give me joy in prayer and a desire to pray. Move in me and through me for your glory. Let others see your work in my life and in the church. Send revival to your people. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. The presence of God. We know that God is omnipresent, right? Present everywhere at the same time. King David wrote in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And Paul told the Athenians, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Clearly, this omnipresence was not the relationship that Moses and God enjoyed. They were close friends that had intimate conversations face to face. Of course, there were limitations on the revelation of God. God's fullness, God's face, could not be shown to Moses. Like Moses, we should pursue the presence of God to the fullest extent possible. We should desire God to go and guide us everywhere we go. Today, in fact, ever since Pentecost, every follower of Jesus has been blessed with a special presence of God, God the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? And John the Baptist declared, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, one whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Baptist, of course, was referring to the Lord Jesus, and Jesus promised to send another comforter, right? a counselor, a paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Well, if we have the Holy Spirit, where is the fire? There should be heat. We should be able to sense it somehow. Fire is contagious. With the proper conditions, it will spread quickly. But it seems too often the Holy Spirit's fire has been quenched. Now, in your bulletin, there should be some reflection questions, right? Help us examine. Yeah, they're on page 7. So if you would turn to page 7 in your bulletin, and we'll just quickly go through these questions. This is homework. Who knew your faith was actually include some work, right? Okay. And we left a little space there so that you could actually write right on here if you like. So have you experienced the manifest presence of God? How about in your church? If so, how would you describe that experience? Is being aware of God's presence important enough to you that you refuse to go through a day without it? Remember, Moses says, we're not going any place without you, Lord. What do you need to do today to secure God's presence? Is there something or someone else's presence acting as a substitute for God's presence in your life? What or who is it? And why do you allow it? Are you content as you are? Is merely being religious enough for you? In Romans 8:29, we are told that God's will for us is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. When you are in God's presence, he is best able to make you like Jesus. Is that happening in your life? Why or why not? And what is God saying to you today? So, another reason to take your bulletin home. Now, we're going to shift gears and spend some time talking about some basic science lessons. I know that that's Butch's favorite thing to do when we talk about math and science. So that's what we're doing. So why? Because Romans 1:20 from the Amplified Bible tells us, for ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through his workmanship, all his creation, the wonderful things that he has made, so that they who fail to believe and trust in him are without excuse and without defense. Everything that science studies was made by God. All natural forces were created by God. And when we learn all about the finely tuned universe and its magnificent design, it only validates God's existence. Not only that, it can reveal things about God himself. Now, you all heard and know something about magnetism, right? You know that the Earth has a magnetic field. And for hundreds of years, people used a compass to navigate from one place to another. Now, how many of you have a compass app on your phone? I just sent an email asking you all to download one. And if you, oh, look, yeah, you got it downloaded. That's good. So here, you can pull out your smartphone in church. Pastors encourage you to do that. And open up your compass app if you have one. If not, maybe a friendly neighbor might allow you to look on. And we're going to all open our compass app and align it so they point to north. And where is north according to your compass app? Yeah. All right, does anybody's north point any other place? They all point in the same direction, right? Well, I should certainly hope so. If not, you would need a new phone. All right? So you ever need to get oriented, if you download the app, you now have a compass on your phone, right? Okay. What this world needs, if we only had an app we could download that would point us to Jesus, right? Compass functionality, how does this work, right? I didn't know how it worked, so I looked it up. In phones and tablets is enabled by a sensor called, and I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it, but a magnetometer, right? Magnetometer, which is used to measure the strength and direction of magnetic fields. And by analyzing the Earth's magnetic field, The sensor allows a phone to determine its orientation pretty accurately. Now, can any of you see or feel the magnetic force? No, of course we cannot. Nevertheless, we know it exists, right? By its effects. We can see its effects on the compass. Now, my grandchildren live right over here in Port Republic, kind of where North is pointing, right? Right over there. And they've been clamoring for a trampoline now for a long time. And my son has been resisting, but finally they have overcome all of his objections, right? And a little over a week ago, they purchased the backyard trampoline and the grandsons put it all together. And they have already been delighted by spending many hours jumping up and down on inventing games and stuff on this trampoline. So the other day I went over and I visited them and watched them jumping on the trampoline. And every time they jumped up, they came back down and hit the bouncy surface, right? What kept bringing them back down? Gravity, of course, right? I could not see the gravity. I could only see them coming back down, the effects of gravity. Now, how many of you have ever ridden on a roller coaster, right? As you're climbing up that first steep hill, your back pressing against the seat, what you feel is gravity. And then you slowly come over the top, and then the roller coaster rapidly accelerates to the bottom. That is gravity. That sense of weightlessness you felt in your stomach is the result of the gravitational effects of that acceleration. Now, when you've observed one of those big, large, beautiful full moons, have you ever noticed the cables holding the moon to the Earth? No, of course not. There's no cables. It's done by gravity, right? Our solar system and the whole universe is held together by gravity. Now, this is the test question for Butch. What's the definition of gravity? Gravitational force is defined as an attractive force between any two objects with non-zero mass separated by distance. Now, hopefully you've already made the connections yourself. We cannot see the presence of God, but we know it exists. We see the effects of the Holy Spirit. People are converted, lives are changed. And Paul tells us in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Our spirit acts like a magnetometer in our phones. Right? Our spirit testifies to us that God is real, that God the Holy Spirit is God of all. The scriptures are very clear on this. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. God set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit, capital S, in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. I hope this promise of a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance is an encouragement to you. 1 John 3, verse 24. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us. Now, seeing most of us are a little bit older, we probably know who Kris Kristofferson was. He was a big star, especially in the 70s in country music. And he also appeared on television in some movies. He's a singer, songwriter, known for his rough ways and party lifestyle. But it was this classic country gospel song that would become the biggest hit of his career. The name of it is Why Me, Lord, or Why Me, as it's sometimes called. It was written by Kristofferson during a low period in his life. After he attended a religious service, conducted by the Reverend Jimmy Rogers Snow. Connie Smith took Christofferson to the church service. He says he had a profound religious experience. When Reverend Snow asked if anyone was lost, Christofferson found his hand involuntarily going up. And I've listened to Christofferson's testimony. He kind of stumbles through it. He has difficulty remembering exactly what happened and what was said to him. He was just so overwhelmed by it. He found himself walking down to the front of the church with other people. And then he begins weeping uncontrollably over his sense of guilt, which is followed then by a feeling of forgiveness that he says he didn't even know that he needed beforehand. That, my friends, is God the Holy Spirit at work. Chris Christofferson felt the presence of God. Now, in case you haven't heard that song, I'm going to play it for you now. Why me, Lord? And for those of you that are of a legal mind, I got permission to use this. I emailed the company that owns the license. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to make a nickel off of it. I think it's still in tune. Maybe not. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it so. Help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it so. Help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it so. Help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus. My soul in your hand. Jesus, my soul's in your hand. And now Chris Christopherson is a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. Author and Wesleyan Methodist minister William Arthur wrote this in The Tongue of Fire, or The True Power of Christianity, The Way to Obtain Power. If the source of our power and the way to obtain it be so plain, how can it be that the tongue of fire is so rare? What are the hindrances? Is it because, as many would seem to think, nothing is so difficult to obtain as the grace of the Holy Spirit? We often hear it said, all effort must be unsuccessful without the blessing of God, without the accompanying power of the Spirit. And the tone used indicates that it is therefore proper to look for, not to look. It's proper not to look for any great results, as if the accompanying power of the Spirit was the only thing not to be counted upon. The recognition of our impotency without the Spirit and of the absolute necessity of His presence and His power is as needful as the recognition of the fact that without sunshine or rain, all labor and all skill would fail to preserve the human race for one season. But the sunshine and the rain are precisely the things which cost nothing and on which we may constantly depend. So it is with the baptism of the power of the Holy Spirit. Freer than the air we breathe, freer than the rich sunbeams, freer than any of God's other gifts. Why? Because it is the one which cost him the most and which blesses his children most, and that gift is ever at hand. Now, if you are using the Upper Room devotional, this was from July 7th. It was titled On the Train by Susan Cosper. The train whistle blew as we headed out of the metro station toward the city. I looked out the window until I could no longer see the platform. Then I opened my Bible and began reading from my 20-minute ride to work. Many commuters prefer a certain car, so like people prefer pews, right? Same kind of thing. So it isn't unusual to see the same people every day. After several days, I noticed more and more people reading their Bibles. And after a few weeks, our car came alive with soft chatter and laughter and discussions about church, sermons, and scripture. One day, a young man in traditional Jewish dress boarded the train. He continued to stand even though the seat next to me was empty. The next day, he seemed reluctant, but sat beside me and began to scroll through his cell phone. When we stopped, he hurried off the train. On the third day, despite other empty seats, he sat down beside me. I smiled and then went back to my reading. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw him pull out his cell phone, and as he slowly scrolled, he began praying out loud in Hebrew. Since then, he has sat beside me every day. He prays out loud while I read my Bible. As Christians, we are called to be witnesses of Christ's love for the world. In just a short month, our car had transformed from a somber place into a vibrant place of worship. I ask you, do you think that the presence of God was there? Before Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, he promised his disciples, and surely, a little more clearly than that, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And the Apostle Paul affirms, he who is joined to the Lord is with him in spirit. And now let us pray the words of Jude, verses 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Mighty God, loving Father, holy, righteous, merciful. Lord, we long to have the heart of Moses, to be in your presence, to go nowhere without it. Lord, we ask for a wall of separation between us and anything that would hinder us in our walk with the Lord Jesus. And inside of us, for any element of self that opposes the will of God, the Holy Spirit, we surrender and submit. Lord, we need you. Our church needs you. And our nation needs you. Come, Holy Spirit, come. I pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.